28. Monday, Nate tried to concentrate on returned mail and addresses. His work dragged until he realized he was comparing the name on each form to the monograms on the cornerstone. He tried to focus and got 2 bundles done by the end of the day. It was slightly more than the days when he'd completely blown off work. On Tuesday, he got 2 bundles of returns sorted, cross-referenced, and updated before lunch. He felt so productive he spent the first hour of the afternoon sending follow-up emails to the Office of Public Works. He also scribbled down the address in case he decided to go look things up in person. After that, he plowed through a stack of returned issues of the magazine. Then he spent half an hour Googling his home address, looking at more old pictures of the neighborhood. The Kavach building was in all of them. It looked the same. At 4:35, Nate accepted he wasn't going to get anything else done before the end of the day, which meant he was done until Thursday morning. He shifted the bundles left in the mail tote and tried to make it look like as much work had been done as possible. He added to the illusion by moving a bundle into each of the other return crates. He adjusted the pens and loose return slips on his desk to maximize the appearance of work in progress. While killing the last 10 minutes of the workday, he found a pack of index cards in the top drawer of his desk. The plastic wrap was still sealed, and a generic price tag was stamped onto it. The tag was crooked, and one corner hung over the edge just enough to collect dust and hair on its sticky backside. The cards came in an assortment of colors, divided between white, blue, yellow, pale green, and pink. The colored cards struck a chord. Nate had listened to Jimmy talk about screenwriting dozens of times. It was a topic that came up at least every other week since the intern was one of Hollywood's great unsung geniuses. Jimmy read 2 different screenwriting magazines, frequented several websites, and had spent hundreds of dollars on books and seminars. He read at least 2 screenplays a week by people with names like Haggis, Black, Payne, and a pair named Kurtzman and something, all of whom were apparently hacks of the highest order, even though Jimmy was always eager to read their stuff. One wall of his apartment, he claimed, was covered with colored note cards representing character elements, story beats, redemptive moments, and other terms that meant nothing to Nate. To the best of Nate's knowledge, the only thing Jimmy hadn't done was actually write something. The idea of color-coded note cards stuck with Nate, though. When all the other talk of changing how Hollywood worked had faded into a pleasant background hum, it was a visual way to organize information. A cheap, easy way to do it, too. He slipped the cards into his backpack, then added a roll of tape and a pair of Sharpie markers. When he waved goodbye to Eddie in the hall, he found he felt remarkably good about stealing office supplies. Nate spent most of Wednesday afternoon scribbling on index cards. Yellow cards would be for history-related mysteries, he decided, while pink ones would be for modern ones like Oscar and Tony Cathy. Blue would be unexplained phenomena like the lack of power lines, the magnetic field, and apartment 14 with all its padlocks. Things that were just odd about the construction would go on white cards. Green, he saved for a class of mystery they hadn't discovered yet. Nate stood by the window and used the entertainment center as his tabletop. He wrote out phrases like cold wall, suicide room, sub-basement, and no one dreams. In an hour, he'd burned through half the blue cards. An hour after that, half the package was gone. It was after sundown when he started taping them to the wall. The only area big enough to work on was the section between the kitchen and his closet door. The paint felt tacky in the early summer heat. The cards almost stuck without tape. It was random at first. He just slapped them on the wall with loops of scotch tape. Then he gathered them by color. When 14 padlocked 4 times ended up next to suicide room, he rearranged them all in the same layout as the apartments. He wrote up 6 more blue cards marked mutant green cockroach and stuck them everywhere he'd seen one of the bugs. There was a pattern here. He was sure there was. He wanted to show the index card array to Veek, but it was after midnight. She was probably asleep. He should be getting to bed, too. He also knew he couldn't risk leaving it up for Oscar to see. If I was smart, he thought, I wouldn't have done it on the wall in front of the door. Of course, there wasn't much other wall space in his apartment with furniture in there. His phone didn't have a great camera, but it was good enough. He turned on all the lights and took 12 photos of the arranged cards. Once he felt safe, he pulled them down. He pulled at the blue card marked Mysterious Hum, and it clung to the wall. The tape had bonded with the latex. He gave it a jerk, and the card released its grip with a pop. Then he frowned. Where the card had been, the paint had stretched out and formed a bubble the size of a grape. It was like a blister on the wall. Nate looked around and realized he'd made 4 or 5 puckers in the paint while he pulled cards off the wall. Nate poked at a bubble. It sank back into the wall but left a circle of wrinkles in its place. He tried to press them flat against the underlying plaster. Some of them faded into the texture of the wall, others got even more prominent. He rubbed his finger back and forth to see if he could smooth out the larger wrinkles. One of the folds tore and rolled up under his finger. He bit back a swear. The blister of paint became a loose triangle surrounded by a saggy circle. There were so many layers of paint in the triangle he could feel the thickness to it like a heavy trash bag. Beneath it was raw plaster, like a wall of chalk. He tugged at the triangle. Rather than breaking off, it grew. The rubbery paint peeled away and the patch of plaster doubled in size. It was the size of his palm. Nate was split between panic and the fascination of watching the paint come away in such a perfect sheet of latex. He gave a gentle pull and the triangle of plaster grew again. It was 4 inches on each side now. He shifted the tension and tried to guide the tearing edges back in on themselves. Instead, the gap in the paint curved in a wide arc to swallow up one of the other blisters. He now held a piece of latex the size of a phone book. The edges left on the wall had pulled up too. "Shit," he said. He pressed his hand against the wall and pulled the triangle up. Most of it tore off against the edge of his palm. One strip, almost 3 inches wide, peeled away up along the wall. He was taking in a breath to swear again when he saw what was on the plaster. 1528. It was written in paint, or maybe ink. Whatever it was thick enough he could see the edge of it raised ever so slightly above the surface of the plaster. Where the latex had stretched up, he could see the edge of another number, just past the 8. The numbers were on the plaster, under 50 or 60 years of paint, maybe more. They could have been written when the building was still under construction. Nate looked at the jagged hole in the paint. There was still a chance he could fix it, if he stopped now. At least one of the paint cans he'd seen down under the cellar stairs would have some of the beige that coated every room, enough to patch a hole a little bigger than a phone book, at least. Probably not enough to do half a wall. He pinched the loose edge of paint by the last number. It eased away from the wall. He pressed his head close to the gap. Past the comma was what looked like another 2, or maybe a 3. Nate's fingers closed on the flap and pulled. The latex came away with a faint sucking sound as air rushed in between the plaster and paint. The first piece was the size of a t-shirt when it broke away under its own weight. He grabbed at the loose edges on the wall and the paint peeled away in a wide arc. The gap opened up until the leading edge hit the doorframe for the closet. Then it followed the boards down to the molding. This piece was the size and shape of his leg. He pulled in the other direction and the paint came off the wall in a wide swath. It took him 20 minutes to tear all the paint off the wall between the kitchen and the closet. One strip had curved up toward the front door. There were some odd shapes left around the power outlet. He'd been surprised when some of the paint had come away to reveal the plate around the outlet was made of wood. From 3 feet up, the wall was covered with numbers. It looked like one big equation, not a particularly complex one from Nate's limited knowledge of mathematics, although there were a few symbols he didn't recognize. It was all large numbers, though. He followed it as best he could down to the final figure. 1,528,326,500 plus 5,000.